Perik Dalit. Perik Dalit Pasik Vav. This is where we're up to. Okay, Mr. Shalvi, welcome back.
Thank you.
Nidmu Amim Mibli Hadas. Nidmu means, we learned last week that this is a continuation of the previous Pasik Vidomisi. We didn't even do the Rashi, really. It means we normally translate it means silence. Okay, that's what Rashi says. Look at Rashi back in the previous Pasik. Vidomisi, it's on the left side. Okay, Nevi'im She'imcha, Vidomisi, Kamo Nidmu Ani Ke'odom Hayoshe, V'soyhe, and is in a state of bewilderment, V'ein Ma'ane B'piv, has nothing what to say. So it means silence. A person has nothing what to say. The Mitsudos disagrees. The Mitsudos learns the word Nidmu means to be cut down, to be cut off, eradicated. So one of these two interpretations, Nidmu Amin Nidwidwas, my people have been silenced due to a lack of knowledge. And knowledge, we'll see in a few moments, refers specifically to the study of Torah. When Klal Yisrael is ignorant, if Chas V'Shalom, we find the situation in history of Klal Yisrael, where they're lacking in Jewish education, they do not know what it says in the Torah, we always find that their survival is at risk. And likewise,
training about not being mostly involved.
What?
You say like today, the Yom.
What was it supposed to say?
Kidmos.
In the Yom Sheni. Okay. So when we find ourselves in a state of ignorance, we don't know the Torah, then we are in a very dangerous state. We're silenced or on the verge of being cut off. Why has this happened? Kiata, because you, Hashem, says to Klal Yisrael, you hadas mo'asla, you have rejected, you have detested the knowledge, and the emoscha michaheni, therefore I will reject you from serving as priests to me, v'tishkach teras elokecha, and I will call, because you have chosen to forget the Torah of your elokecha, therefore, mida k'neged mida eshkach banecha gam oni, I will forget your children. Now, there appears to be here poetic repetition. We'll see the Gra in a moment. Let's just first see the Pshut Shel Mikra. The Gra has a very nice shot. It makes the pasuk fit very, 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 very nice approach to take away the repetition. Pasuk Vav in the Mitzudos David. Pasuk says, it's on the next page. The Mitzudos David is on, where is it? I can't find it.
56.
Okay, three lines. Two lines from the bottom. Nidmu ami, hine ami, nichrasu al ki lo yadu oisi. Mitzudos is very clear. The word nidmu means they've been cut off, been cut out, cut down. Kiata al hakoyin lulamed kemoshen emar ki sifse koyin yishru das v'soyru yivakesh repiu. This was the role of Kohanim in time of Chazal. This is a theme which appears many, many times. Today we assume who are the teachers? Anyone who wants. It's America. You can be whatever you want to be. Okay, fantasy island. Whatever you want to be, you can be. And you want to be a Rashiva, you don't have to be from Shevet Levi to be a Rebbe, to be a Gadol, to be a Rashiva. But in time of the days of Hamikdash, it appears that it was not as common. It appears the people that were groomed to be the teachers, to be the Malamdim, to be the Gedolei Yisrael, were the Kohanim.
Paid, so how could you had to earn a living if Kohanim was supported by the...
By the Tzibor.
Right,
so doesn't it seem that there was like a koilim, this whole idea of people who would sit and learn? I mean, we don't really know, it's not really clear, but one thing we do see in the Pesukim is that the people that were groomed to serve as teachers for Klal Yisrael were the Kohanim. So since here they chose not to teach, since the Kohanim have chosen not to teach, not to serve as spiritual leaders, therefore Hashem says, I will remove you from your post. You'll no longer serve as Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, pause. Next, now go to page 59. So here it's a verb. Normally we associate forgetting with something that's a natural occurrence. A person forgets. So here it says, Vatishkach, you cause the people to forget. Okay, that is like, I said, it almost sounds like you can do something. What can you do? What can you do to cause a person to forget? I don't know. You can, I guess, you fill up their head with narishkeit. What?
Confusing, maybe.
What?
Overload
him.
Overload, yeah.
You fill up his head with narishkeit that cause eshkach gam oni esponecha. I will forget about your children. And I will not save them. It's very difficult. How does one follow from the other? Because you have chosen to cause the people to forget Hashem, therefore I will forget your children. What does your children have to do with Klal Yisrael? I guess maybe the Klal Yisrael are the children of Hashem. So if the Kohanim are not teaching Torah, they are causing the children of Hashem to forget that they're children of Hashem. So Midah, Keneged Midah, you, the Kohanim, your children will be forgotten from me. The Kohuna will cease to exist. Okay, that's seemingly the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, is there a Rashi here? Yeah, on page 58. Eshkach Banecha. So Rashi gives a whole new twist, a whole new interpretation of what is over here, children. Rashi, obviously, it's very disturbing. What is the connection between, because you have rejected me, because you have caused Klal Yisrael to forget me, I'm going to forget your children. What's the connection, children? So Rashi says that this was the Arvus. On Har Sinai, Klal Yisrael, they will read the Chazal in a moment. They guaranteed that if they do not study, learn, observe the Torah, Hashem will take children as the mashkoin for our sins. This is something which is impossible for us to understand. Why should a child who has not done an avera, a person shalei toham tam chet, be punished, suffer because of the sins of his fathers? Doesn't to us something which is beyond any attempt to comprehend, and but that's what it says. Sha'oisan sha'amdol har sinai nasnu binehem arevim. They gave over their children as the guarantors. Tachas avoisehem lishmor es haTorah, to guard the Torah. Okay, let's see Chazal. Okay, we'll come to these Amori Chazal. Let's jump to the bottom of the page. On page 57, starts the pasuk Vav Nidmu Ami Mibli Hadoas Amar Rabbi Yilah. So we have a few Amar Chazal. First Chazal is Amar Bula Barbrechia Shnei Talmidei Chacham Hador Meir Achas Ve'in Oichem Zel Zeb Halacha. Two Talmidei Chachamim that live in one city and are not pleasant to one another in Halacha. They do not know how to respectfully disagree. They only know how to disrespectfully, good morning, disrespectfully disagree. So what's the consequence? Okay, it's not really clear what this means either. Echad neis v'echad goyle. One will die and one will go into exile. Shenemar, this is the pasuk in Devarim. Okay, Devarim, lanush shama rotzeach ari miklat, lanush shama rotzeach, asher yirtzach esre'eyu bivli das. Now the pshuto shel mikra, the simple understanding is that Reuven killed Shimon by accident. Mibli das, there was no malicious intent to kill his friend. But the Gemara here is making a very profound drasha. Das means because there's a lack of Torah. And here the Gemara is interpreting it more than that. It's Shaloi Noichin Zelo Zebe Halacha. They don't come to an agreement, or they're not pleasant to one another in regard to matters of Torah. There's an issue, there is a halachic issue, and there is a disagreement. If you want to disagree, that's fine, that's healthy to disagree, but there has to be a balance, there has to be respect, there has to be, you know, we have to choose to respectfully disagree. And if you are if you don't respectfully disagree, this is what that's how we interpret the pasuk. My people have been cut off. So cut off here means, according to the Gemara, means two things. Number one, some people they actually die, and the survivors go into exile. Mibli, because das, there is a lack of respect for one another in regard to matters of halacha. It's very powerful. What?
Who decides which one dies and which one else?
Hashem decides. Only Hashem decides. Why should one die, one be exiled? Why don't they both die? Why, or are they not both exiled? I don't know. It doesn't say.
Because the way the Torah puts Rashad is amazing.
Right, this is Pshuta Shal Mikra. Right, this is talking, Pshuta Shal Mikra is referring to a person who kills his friend. A person kills his friend, the Shoigeg, a person kills his friend without, by accident. Okay, you're going into the forest and chopping wood, and the metal of the axe falls off the handle, nibbly das. I did not intentionally try to kill my friend, it was an accident. But the Gemara is making a drasha. The word das means Torah. And the Makar, that the word das means Torah, comes from this pasuk right here. This pasuk says, Vidnu ami mibli hadas. And in this pasuk it's clear that the word das, it's clear here in this pasuk that the word das over here means, it means Torah. There is a lack of education. So just like in this pasuk, where das is a code word for Torah, likewise in the pasuk in Devarim, when it discusses that Asher Yirtzach Esrei Bivli Das, and now he has to go into Golus, and that pasuk, one person is dying, the victim has died, and the perpetrator, he has to go into Golus, right? So there's death and there's Golus. So if you hear, so that's what the pasuk is. Why Mibli Das? Because there's a lack of Torah. What does it mean, is a lack of Torah? So the Gemara is saying from the context, it has to mean that there is a lack of respect. Lack of respect for one another in matters of Torah. This obviously is speaking to us in our generation, where unfortunately we find so much of this. We find that there are different approaches to halacha, and unfortunately we see many times it flares up. You can disagree in halacha. Everyone has ayin panim l'Torah. But sometimes when the disagreement reaches, when it gets personal and it gets ugly, it's a very, very frightening thing. And that's what it says over here. It's Rahman Litzlan. This can be very, very, have very severe consequences. Next Chazal, next page 58. Ki ata hadas ma'asta v'em oscha mikahei liva tishrach toiras alokecha eshrach banech gamoni. Okay, so it says over here two things. It says over here is that because you have rejected Torah, I'm going to reject you from being Kohanim to me, and because you have chosen to reject, again, the repetition, we'll see what the repetition is in one moment, I'm going to, because you have chosen to forget, or you have caused the people to forget the Torah, I'm going to cause it that your children are forgotten from me. Anyone that forgets Torah, he will cause his children to go into exile. Shnemar, this very pasuk, v'tishkach Torah selokecha, if you cause others to forget, or it's not really, the grammar really means if you forget. Rashi said that you cause, or the Masuda says you cause others to forget. Maybe from the context, that's really what it means. If you forget or you cause others to forget, the pasuk says, I'm going to forget your children, which here means the children are going to go into exile. Rabbi Avo Amar. What? It says here, you're causing the Torah to be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. How does that happen? It means the leaders, either they don't take a stand, they're not on top of Jewish education to make sure that everyone.
That's not what he's saying. He's saying, in other words, call anyone.
Kol hamishakeach davar mitalmudu. Any person that forgets something from his learning, okay, even an individual. I wouldn't say that. You can't, today we live in a very complicated, you can't blame anyone today. Today, Baruch Hashem, we have a very good system. Everything pretty, it's never been so good. Never. Jewish education, I can't say it's ever been so good like it is today. Absolutely. So yet, how come yet today there is a problem. There's always a problem. Go back from time immemorial, there were people, Yeshu HaNotri. He went off the derech, right? So it goes back from time immemorial, but is the problem today more than it was years ago, or is it just that since today we live in a world where everything is accounted for, there's accountability and everyone is under a microscope, we just know about it more? It's a big debate. Is there anything really more happening today just because the population is so much bigger and there's more of everything, so therefore it makes the headlines much more frequently, but does not necessarily mean that percentage-wise the problems today are really greater. In fact, probably you can argue that the problems today, percentage-wise, are less than they were years ago because we have so many different things which can help everyone. It's a shidduchim. Okay, so is only today it's so hard shidduchim? It wasn't hard in Europe. People claim that people who grandparents who remember, they say it was just as bad in Europe as it is today. It was always been a problem for in these matters. Is that true or not true? Is it just more pronounced today? I don't know. I really don't know. But it says here, you're right, kol hamishakeach, anyone that forgets. You're right. Mm-hmm. Every person has an obligation to review what he learns. It's you know, it's a whole different world. Kol hamishakeach davar mitalmudo goyim golos laban because the children going to golos shenema v'atishkach teres lekecha. I guess there are different levels of golos. Okay, there's galus. There are many layers of galus. There's the galus of not being having a Beis Hamikdash. Even if we were living in Eretz Yisrael and there was no Beis Hamikdash, that would be called galus. And in fact, that was the original plan. It was really not necessarily meant to be that we have to go into Bavel or by a Sheri to go to Rome. 15. Just not having a Beis Hamikdash is called galus. Then, when you're in galus, there are different levels. If you're able to be a shomer Torah mitzvahs, that's not so bad. But then, if you're not able to do that, that's a problem. There are many different layers. So wherever a person finds himself, he you can say he's in galus. But if his children stray and they rachmana litzlan, they go further and they are less observant, they feel less the kirvas elokim and the desire. That's another layer of galus.
Why do the children get punished? If he forgets his own, why not him?
I guess by example. I guess this always comes back that if the children do not see the parents, the children are watching the parents. Children, they absorb the lessons from the home. If to the parents, Torah is not valuable enough that they're willing to preserve it, then it makes an impression on the children that it's not so important, and let us explore other options in life. If they see the parents cherish their legacy, their Yerusha, their heritage, it makes an impression on the children, this is what I want. But if the parents say, you know, years ago when I was a bach, I used to learn, I used to daven, now, forget about it. So the children see that it's not important. So they're, let's be one step ahead. Why should I go in through your steps and learn and study, and then 10 years down the down the road, throw it out the window and not go to Minyan and not learn a word, not go to a shir? I'll beat you. I'll start right now. I won't go to Minyan. I won't learn. Isn't that the way it goes?
Yep.
But if children, they observe their parents cherishing everything that they have taken from their youth, that means they're not forgetting. That makes a very strong impression on the children, and they go their way. That's what they say. They say, Rubadubal, there are people, Rahman al-Islam, who you know, that they do everything wrong. Everything you can do wrong in Chinuch HaBanim, and they have children that are gems.
Right.
And there are parents that do everything right. Love and emotion and Chinuch, and Rahman al-Islam, the children go off. So you can't generalize. But Rubadubal, 90%, if parents have a home where they do everything right,
yes,
the children will turn out right. If parents do everything wrong, the children will turn out wrong. That's the majority. There are unfortunately exceptions. We know there are exceptions.
Like Aaron says, why are the children being punished for the sins of the parents?
Well, the children, in this case, he doesn't mean they're being punished. You're just saying it's a reality. He's saying it just...
Why should they be punished?
Well, that's a separate issue. Tzadik v'ra'ala, that you'll never know. That we'll never ever know. Why? That's a different issue. But over here, Hashem was saying the same thing of Mitzvahs. If you're going to forget what you learned, you grew up, you had a great education, you learned by the Rebbeim the best, and now you become an adult, and you decide, Vatishkach, I'm going to forget about it. It's just not important. The lessons that my Rebbeim, my parents have imbued in me, no, it was nice, but Vatishkach. Then Hashem says, what do you expect from your children? You expect your children, they're going to remain religious. They're going to remain Shomer Torah Mitzvos.
But
it's not a matter of punishment. Over here, I don't think he means it's a matter of punishment. Hashem is telling you a reality. It's just not going to happen. The children are not going to turn out okay because they have no one to learn from. Adarava, you are serving as a very bad example for your children. You are showing your children that you can throw away everything that you've been raised with.
Roy Feldman, in his book, he wrote a book, Emanuel Feldman was a rabbi in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And he wrote a book, and one of the stories he tells there, one of his congregants comes to him, and he he says, could you do me a favor and speak to Stevie? Who's Stevie? His son. What happened? His son was going to marry you outside the faith. So he goes, speaks to Stevie, and what does Stevie tell him? He says, Rabbi, what do you want from me? My parents, Friday night, they would put the candles on top of the television set, watch television, light the candles. They didn't keep anything. So what do you want? You want me to keep it there? Is that what we're...
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
I spoke to Rabbi Kobo personally a few times.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly what it says. It's about Tishkach Taras Elokecha. If you're going to forget the Torah Elokecha, then Eshkach Bonecha Gamani. Then your children will forget me. What do you expect? Even though you know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know Gan Shas, you know everything there is to know, you know all the politics, all the secrets, but if you are not going to be observant, then your children won't even know anything. They won't even have the tools. They won't even have the background because they're going to follow by example. I mean, this is very basic.
Stein gave a very basic, the way he explained it one time in one of his speeches is that, you see people during davening, they call their little children over and say, Zukrishma.
That's been your little whole life.
And then he said, so why did you end? And you hack away until he finally says Shema Yisrael. The little kid, he said, what did you teach your kid? That he should say Kriya Shema.
Say Kriya Shema.
That you could talk during Kriya Shema. That's what you taught your kids.
But they always say the example. When you bring.
That's what you taught your kid. Uh-huh.
You go to shul, you always see this all the time, and you see parents, they bring little toddlers, and they give them, oh, they come out and collect it with the pushka. So what do? The parents give a quarter, and they give it to their three-year-old, and they tell the three-year-old to put the quarter in the pushka. So all of the Bali Musas say, that you've just violated every rule of chinuch. Mm-hmm. That's a disaster. Because what's going to happen? So the child makes an impression. My father gave me a quarter that I should put in the pushka. So what is the child? He's going to grow up, and he's going to have children, and he will go and take out a quarter and give his child a quarter to put into the pushka. The goal is you should put the quarter in the pushka and let your child see. That the pushka comes around, make sure he's sitting there, and you take out of your pocket a quarter or a dollar, and you put the quarter in the pushka. The child will then say, wow, if my father put a quarter, that's what an adult does. Children want to be adults. Right. Every child wants to be a fireman and a policeman, right? They're cool. They walk in, they ever see a fireman, they walk in, wow. Why does he want to be a fireman and a policeman? Because they come with all the fireworks. when there's an emergency, they come in these big costumes, and these big hats, and sirens. Wow, this is exciting. I want to be that. If they see their father put the cord in the pushka, I want to put the cord in the pushka. And they know, they grow up with an attitude that when they get when they become an adult, they will earn, when they earn money, they will put their quarters in the pushka. If you're going to give them a quarter, it's not going to work. Okay, so it's a very simple idea, and the pasuk is saying, if you're going to get Taras Elokecha, Eshach Bonech Amoni. What happened over here? We got a problem here. Houston, we got a problem.
Have to put another quarter in the pushka.
Another quarter in the pushka? Another battery?
Meter.
Maybe $1.
Okay, we set it. Good. So far, so good. Okay, so this is the lesson of the pasuk according to the parish of Rashi. According to the Gemara Chazal, according to this Chazal. Okay, now let's go to the next Maamar Chazal. Next Chazal. Now, Rabbi Avoh Amar, on Holnu Halacha, Mayridin Oisai Migdulos. If a person is a Talmud Chacham and he forgets, he chooses to forget his learning, he is removed from his post. Shenemar Ki Ato Hadas Moasta VeMoscha Mikahenli. That's really the first part of the pasuk. A person has to continue to grow. When I went to Rabbi school, they taught us that you always don't think just because you become a rabbi, if you become a rabbi. In those days, maybe there were jobs, not today. But don't think once you become a rabbi, you're finished. No more personal growth, personal learning. In most professions, you don't have time. If you're a doctor, once in a while, you go for a conference. You'll go to a conference, you learn a little more about doing in your field. Okay, but obviously, dealing with patients, you're gonna you're in a hospital, you're in an office,
from experience.
But what about enrichment? What about a significant degree of enrichment? In most fields, it's not common to have opportunities to go to Kollel, to spend time, have a sabbatical.
Maybe these kind of programs.
They do now much more.
Yeah.
to educate. But the degree of what's done is still minor of what they were telling us in rabbi school of what a rabbi is required to do. If you're a Talmud Chacham, you're a leader, you have to set aside a significant amount of time to grow. Otherwise, if you're not going to grow in the rabbin, in your personal ruchnius, rabbanis, in Talmidei Chachamim, this is a disaster. Maybe if you're a doctor and you never go to a conference to have enrichment, all right, you know, as long as you have your patience and as long as you know what you're doing, and obviously just being in the business, you know what's going on, yeah. You know what's going on, so, you know, you'll be okay. You'll be okay. Yeah, of course you're going to keep up. Naturally you're going to keep up. You're not going to have a choice. You're naturally going to keep up by osmosis. But to actually go above and beyond is not necessarily necessary. It's not always necessary. In Ruchnius it is. In Ruchnius it's a different standard. It's not just that you're practicing, you're paskling shilas, you're learning, giving shiurim. There has to be significant growth. And that's what it says here in this pasuk over here, according to Ravo. A person forgets Omar Rabbi Avo, Ratishkach, Mauridinoi Soy Migdullah, Soy Shademar, Kiato, Asadas Ma'as, if you reject Das, Torah, Ve'em Osra Mikahainli, I will reject you from being a Koyain to me. And the more next Chazal will elaborate. Let's see. Emamalta, Betoira, Belmazen, next Chazal, and the person to Omar Betoira, Belmazen, Yesh, Lucha, Socher, Habil, Mabo, Im Loya Malta, Betoira, Belmazen, Now this is very bizarre. I don't know what this means. I was struggling on this, and it says here that the Olam Haba are your children. If a person is Omel in this world in Torah, then he will have a lot of reward in the next world. But if he's not Omel, maybe just turn it off for a minute, because if you turn it off, it resets it. Sometimes it's static in the system, and when you let it fizzle out, you turn it back on, it works good. Okay, turn it back on. Oh, turn it out, turn it around. This feedback. Turn it. Turn up. Turn around. No, turn right. Turn around. Okay, is it better now? Facing the wall. Facing right. Good. Okay. All right. Now it's better. Okay. So this is a very fascinating chazal. Look at this chazal. Look what is hidden in Chazal. Chazal of here is saying the person's Olam Haba are his children. We think that Olam Haba, Olam Hazeh are your children. Right? Person has good children, you have nachas. They come, they help you. In an old age, they're there for you, they're there to help you.
That's so, what you call them a Kaddishal.
It's called a Kaddishal, that's what's called a Kaddishal. They're going to say Kaddish for me. So a person has nachas, has Yishuv Hadas in this world, when he has good children, even children. So the Gemara, this Chazal says, no, the Iker reward of children is not in this world. The Iker reward of children is in the next world. When a person is in the Olam HaEmes, the fact that he has children in this world, continuing to be observant, Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, this is Olam Haba. Isn't that amazing? That's what it says. I'm not making this up. Ema Malta Batar Olam Hazeh, Yesh lecha socher harbe le'olam haba v'im lo yamalta b'toy b'olam hazeh. If you do not be omel in toy b'olam hazeh, ein lecha socher l'haba. How do you know this? It quotes a pasuk that talks about children. Shenemar v'tishkach Torah Hashem. If you're going to choose to forget the Torah of Hashem, eshkach bonecha gam ani. I'm going to forget your children. What do children have to do with your reward in olam haba? Obviously, the reward of Olam Haba is tied directly to your children. Now, you can say many interpretations of what this means, but on the most simplest level, you can't deny the fact that it says here children. And the children are going to be your Olam Haba. The Neshama is an Olam HaEmes, and what is the Tainug there? What his children are doing here in this world. Never underestimate Chazal say that, you know, that, like I say, a child is Kaddish, child learns, all of these things are able to propel the neshama of the parents and ancestors to new levels. We don't know what this means, but we are maminim that these things are definitely true. Bavoin mo heim bonav shul adam meisin. Now we go to another chazal. This chazal is something which we do not know what this means. That this is something which is beyond our comprehension. Why do children die? This is the age-old question. The ultimate example of tzaddik viraloi. A child cannot have possibly done anything in this world to deserve to die. It's naki mechet. So why does a child die? In the Holocaust, 1.5 million, up to 1.5 million children were killed, were tortured to death. Horrified. Can you imagine the fear? We don't appreciate it. We get older, we forget what it's like to be a child. When we get older, so we're not always as afraid as we should be, but when we remember children, you know, it's like, I remember the first time I saw a dead body. It's a horrifying experience. You know, we don't fear of death, the fear of going into a hospital, someone who's sick. When we get older, you know, it's like doesn't affect everyone that much. It's worse, yeah.
So, or, as you get older, it becomes
more real. You feel it happening to yourself. Okay, that's true. But that's a different. That's more of a fear of yourself. What's happening to you? You relate to it.
It's a fright.
Frightened, but as a child, it's the unknown. It's very frightening. So when children suffer and they fear death coming upon them, I mean we don't realize how what's going through their minds. It's just not to be believed when a child is trapped in a situation where you know, like, let's have those children die in the fire. What were they thinking the last moments of their life? Okay, when we have no saga of what goes on in their minds, the terror. So why do they suffer? Can you tell me they did an avera that they're chayef to die? It's impossible. So this is the age old question of tzaddik viralo. Anyone that thinks they know the answer to this is, in my book, I don't know, it's a fool to anyone to even have a havamina. Okay, so bavod mo heim bottom shoulder mesim. So here the Gemara tells us why. Rebbe Lezo aimer bavoy neder. Okay, these, I'm just reading words. Okay, if a parent, I don't know what this means. It doesn't make any sense. A parent makes a vow and does not keep his vow, it's pasuk. Then his children are going to die. Lashav, because you have spoken words in vain, you have made false vows. Hikcs b'neichem, I have taken the lives of your children. That's one opinion. Rabbi Yeshua Oimer b'avoin bitul Torah. Again, it's not for us to understand. Shenemar, this pasuk. Vatishkach Torah selokecha, eshkach bonecha gamoni, because you have forgotten Torah, bittul Torah, therefore I'm going to forget about your children, which here in this context means the children are going to die. Rebbe Lozo, the Mursa Kash, the first mandem that says that the children die because of the parents have made vows and have not been faithful. What does he do with the pasuk of Vatishkach? Rebbe Lozo, hi Vatishkach, my avalei, bi boi lelich letanya, nushoshe, omdu yishol har sinai, omdu. This is what Rashi quoted this chazal. That's why over here in the bottom he's quoting this, because this chazal on har sinai, omdu yishol har sinai, this week is very appropriate for this week's parasha, har sinai. Omar lo hebuch l'shbaruch hu lishol atem mekalmes ha-Torah. Do you want to receive the Torah? Amru lo hein, yes. Omar lo hein, heviu arevim b'davar. I'm not giving it to you for free. I want a guarantee. I'm not just giving away the Torah unless you don't guarantee something in exchange for the Torah. What are you going to give as a deposit for the Torah? Amru ha mi no kinon. That means yiladein, that's a fancy word, means our children. In the event that we are not faithful to the Torah, then you have the right to take our children away from us. Due to what comes forth from the mouth of a oilel and a yoinik, infants, yisad ta'oz, you established might. Might is a code word for the Torah. Fine. You are willing to give your children as a guarantee for the Torah. Imatem mishamrim es haTorah mutav. Very good. If you observe the Torah, everything will be fine and good. Vimlav harei b'neichem me'arvin li shenemar. That's what it says in the pasuk. Vatishkach Torah. This pasuk over here is a very fundamental pasuk in the Torah for this week's parasha. It's like the aleph base of this week's parasha. Vatishkach Torah elokecha. Eshkach bonecha gamoni. If you forget the Torah of Hashem, then I will forget your children. Now, what I don't understand is what then is the difference between Rabbi Eliezer and who's the other man? Rabbi Yeshua. The Gemara starts with, why do children die? So Yeshua says, because of Nidarim. Rabbi Eliezer says, because of Bittul Torah. The Gemara says, what does Rabbi Yeshua do with the Pasuk of Rabbi Eliezer? What does Rabbi Eliezer do with the Pasuk of Rabbi Yeshua? Vavatishkach. Okay, Rabbi Eliezer is the first man of the Yama. Rabbi Eliezer is the one that said they die because of Nidarim. And the second, Rabbi Yeshua says, they die because of Bittul Torah. And Rabbi Yeshua has the Pasuk, what we just led. So what does Rabbi Eliezer, who says the reason why children die is because of Nidarim, what does he do with the Pasuk of Rabbi Eliezer? Oh, it means that Bittul Torah.
No, he says
Shaman. The Aravim. They're co-signers. The guarantors.
There's two different words that Yeshua is using in Rabbi Lesser. Yeshua is using the word Bittul Torah.
Bittul Torah. And the other one is Aravim. They are guarantors.
Look at the words. Imatem Shaimer.
Guardians.
Yeah. Is there a difference between the word Shaimer and Bittul?
I don't know. That's what I don't understand. To me, it's all the same. It's all the same, right? I'm giving you the Torah, but there's a condition. What's the condition? Our children. If we're not going to be guardians of the Torah, you can take our children.
So what does Bittul Torah mean?
Isn't that what Bittul Torah is?
Not learning.
It means everything. Bittul Torah means not learning, not observing. Gadol limud, shalimud mevi lidei maisa. It's all the same. Learning and observing is all the same. It's all one package. So what then is the difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua? I don't know. I really don't know. The Gemara here is a very strange Gemara. One man, the other, Bittul Torah. There are raving for Klal Yisrael. Obviously, there's a very profound difference between the two, which we'll have to leave for another time. Yeah.
According to Rabbi Eliezer, let's say a person doesn't learn nothing, zero.
Yeah.
There's nothing. I know there's in any of you, how could you know how to keep the Torah if you don't know how to learn it? But let's say you keep whatever you keep, and you're careful, you're as shy as you do is there. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, it could be you're okay. Shimer. According to Rabbi Yeshua, the fact that you didn't the extra mile to go to learn.
What is we use the word Bittul Torah in our vocabulary to refer to you have a shear and you cut. I'm not going to learn Torah. But that's not really what it means in the Gemara. Bittul Torah means you don't observe. It doesn't necessarily only mean to learn. We use it in our language today as referring to studying.
Rabbi Eliezer, Shimrin could be the second part. According to Yeshua, it could be both.
There has to be a difference. What the difference is, I don't know. You can say just the opposite. Shomer means to study Torah. Bittul Torah means not to observe the Torah. You can play with it many ways. You can find Rayas and Chazal. What does it mean, Shomer? What does it mean, Bittul? There are many different ways to look at it. I don't know, but there has to be a difference. Who is saying something more profound, more intense?
Possibly. There are plenty of parents who themselves, you know, are semi-committed and everything, but they make sure their children go to yeshiva.
More.
And they learn. Yeah.
They want from their children more.
Yes, yeah. They want, they take great pride in their children being better than them. And you have this all over the place.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what it means by shaymin, by a raven. They want to give more to their children. They themselves can't do it. Whatever, you know, the regular people.
So you say that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're saying is that the parents commit themselves, that they commit that their children will be enrolled in yeshiva. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehoshua, it just means that we'll learn Torah. We're not committing that our children...
No, I think with the first man, the Amar, even though they are not such good role models, but they want for their children.
Yes.
You see this, you know, if you ever want to see... like long ago, there were many Rabbanim who had shtelas that were not Orthodox. You know, there was a whole big problem. But a lot of them sent their kids to yeshiva.
Right.
They really want, all right, whether they're right or wrong, Hashem is the boss. But there were a lot of people who were not so, you know, they had all different kinds of Zionists, but they want it for their children.
Right, absolutely. I once heard someone comment, who's commenting.
People came over from Europe, and they wanted, for the children. We had nothing. Our kids are going to have
some. They also want the parnas for their children. They came from dirt poverty, and you have to have a balance, you know, not to suffer the poverty that they suffered. If there's no ain kemach in Torah, they're not a parnasa. So a lot of parents said, make sure first you have a good parnasa. All coming where you come. It all depends where you're coming from. I once heard someone comment. He was talking about different institutions, and he was saying why, and he made it very. He's saying why some institutions are successful, why some are not. And he pointed, who are the big donors? Who are the big donors that support certain institutions? And he pointed out, he said names, which I'm not allowed to say. And he said that the institutions that are successful are the donors where they put their children, they enroll their children as students in these institutions. It shows that they're not just giving money because they have to unload at a tax shelter. They believe in it. They believe in this institution, and the proof is, where do I send my children? To this institution. I put my children where my money is. On other institutions, they get even more money. They get millions and millions of dollars. And where do they send their children? To an entirely different type of institution. I don't hold from this institution of my children. It's a nice thing. The Klal Yisrael needs this. But it's not for me. I have money to spend. I have money to give. No, so I'll give you $1 million. But my children are not going there. The money has a koyach. People don't realize when you give $1, sometimes has more of a bang than $1 million. We don't realize that. And that's not just the $1 if it's an honest dollar. It was earned with sweat and tears versus the dollar that was ripped off from the government, from some government program. Okay, you give $1 million, where'd the money come from? We ripped off the government, so here we go, give it to the yeshiva. Wonderful, wonderful. And then you have people who give $10,000, and it's honest, hard-earned money. And if you really would trace the money, you would discover that the $10,000 created a whole new generation for someone in Klal Yisrael, and the $1 million was just flushed down the toilet. It's a mitzvah. Money, it's a very big nesayin. An institution has an opportunity to take money, and the money is not such kosher money. It's legal, it's 100%, but it's not ethical money. You know, where do you draw the line? That's the very big nesayin for your fundraiser. It's not an easy job, these type of things. But it's not just that. It's the kavana. A person gives money with a kavana. I believe in this institution. My children are going to be enrolled as students here. Wow, you know, that's a very powerful combination. You know, when it came to the Mishkan, people gave zahav, kesef, nechoshes, and all different types of materials, barzel and wool and linen, and the lach shoiv machashavas. One of the requirements of Bitzal was to delve deep. Yet he was the ultimate psychologist. Abetzalo. He wasn't just the master craftsman. His ikur koyach was psychology, knew the kavan of every person. And the people who had the most noble intent, their money, their donation was used for the most holy things. It was used to build the Oren. It was used, which part of the Oren, which part of the Kruvim, which part of the Oren was the money going to go for? This one who gave silver, where is it going to go? That was what it says in Chazal, says on the page, in the Kodesh Gadol, says this, the lach shoiv machashava is to know the intent of the giver and to direct that kavana with that kavana to where it needs to go. Okay, so this is the idea of this Chazal. Now let's see the Gra. The Gra is a very beautiful idea. The Gra basically says, the reason why there's so much repetition of the nearest pasuk, it really says the same thing. It says twice. If you're not going to learn, if you're going to reject Hashem, then Hashem's going to reject you. If you're going to forget my Torah, Hashem's going to reject your children. It's poetic repetition. No one really addressed the issues. We basically both part of the pasuk have the same idea, one way or another way. Rashi and the Mitzudos, they explain it. They're fudging it. But the Gros says it refers to two very simple things, to learn and to teach. Every person has an obligation to study Torah and has an obligation to teach Torah, each in their own way. In the first part of the pasuk says, Ki ato hadas mo'asto, you don't want to learn. If you don't want to learn, then ve'em osra mikahein li, then I'm going to reject you. You don't want to learn, so you know what? I'm going to dismiss you from your post. I'm going to send you into exile. If you don't want to teach, you don't want to teach Torah, then the punishment will be your children. If you don't want to teach Torah, there's going to be no one to teach your children Torah. That's why it fits so well children, because children are the students. Children are always in the category of students, and they need teachers. If you have an opportunity to teach someone Torah, and you withhold, then the day will come when your children will be in need of someone teaching them Torah, and there will be no one to teach them Torah.
Or more simply, you should teach your children.
Well, of course. I mean, let's say you're in a stage of your life now, maybe so children, maybe your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. You're in a stage of life now where it's not okay to teach your children, but there are people that are begging you to teach. They're begging to learn, yeah?
In 1920, it was against the law. It was to
to do anything.
Illegal.
Legal.
Okay, that's different than difficult times. Like you always see today there's a big whole industry. It's outrageous of tutoring. Unfortunately, the whole system, obviously, there's something broken in the chinuch. If the fact that every single student needs a tutor, I don't understand what's going on. Every single student needs a tutor, so what are the teachers for? Normally, you have a teacher that teaches 95% of the class, and it's maybe one or two students that are weak, so you have a tutor for them. But today, it seems, what I'm seeing is the teacher teaches, and then there's a whole industry of tutoring, and everyone has to have a tutor. Everyone. And the cost of the tutors can be more than the tuition. And there are people today that are making livings, they had a whole write-up, one of these magazines, there are people that are making this, it's more profitable to be a tutor in a school than to be a Rebbe. Because the Rebbe only makes a fixed salary. The tutor, if you add up how much they're making, they're making a fortune. So it's a, and now they're giving it a glamorous, they're giving it a title, and they have a whole resource center in the schools. It's outrageous. It's totally outrageous. So obviously there's something wrong with the system. Something's wrong. But when I was in high school, that was a very big thing. That's it wasn't like that. It was today where there were yechidim which needed tutoring, and Chaim Siegel, he was one of the innovator. He was very big into this, is to help that the weaker boys should have tutors like Beis Medrash Bachim, and there was no charge to the parents. It was all done under the table. He himself raised the money. Parents didn't pay a penny. Parents didn't even know about it some of the times. And boys would be sent to learn with older boys at Beis Medrash, and they were being paid.
A chavrusa or an extra seder or something.
And they were being paid very well. Some of them, all some different, and the parents were not charged. They didn't even know about it. And he privately raised the money. Today, it's not like that anymore. Today, in the good schools, they ask the parents to pay, and if the parents can't pay, then the yeshiva pays. Some yeshivas, they do that. The yeshivas have enough resources, enough connections to take care of it. And the parents can pay, so they ask the parents to help out. And other schools, which I know, this yeshiva can't even afford to pay the rebbein. Some tutors, forget about. So that becomes a very, very big problem because it's very, very expensive. And the Lumud Echol is the same thing. Or the Lumud Echol to pass the regents, it's the same thing. So here it says...
I'd just like to add, in the yeshiva Chaim Berlin, there was a family where the parents got divorced, and they had a few boys in the yeshiva. And actually, they asked my son, one of my sons, they paid him. But right away, he had to provide them a tutoring and everything. He was like a bit of like a father figure for the boys. I think it was very nice of the yeshiva. Right away.
And they paid for him. They paid.
Paid him. And like to supplement, because the father wasn't known.
That's very nice. The yeshiva has the money, the resources. They do that.
The feeling to understand what's going on.
So you need siyata d'shmaya, because there are some boys that do not, that fall by the way, so they don't stick, even with, because you need the right tutor. Not so many, not every tutor, not everyone connects. Yeah. It's a very, very big problem. So you see, you need even a rebbe, you need siyata d'shmaya. It can make a difference in a person's life. And who are we not to say that when a person invests time in teaching other people who need to be taught, it's an investment for himself. Who knows, down the line, his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, they'll merit the siyata d'shmaya, that they will have the right Rebbe who will inspire them, or the right tutor, or the right figure in their life that will inspire them as a teacher to them. You need an enormous amount of siyata d'shmaya. How come they merited that siyata d'shmaya and someone else did not merit? We don't know. You don't know. But certainly the pasuk here is telling us that don't take any chances. If you will teach, according to the Gra, if you will go out of your way to teach someone who wants to learn, then I'll take care of your children. Your own children will one day merit that they will have in their life the right person to inspire them. That's pretty much how the Gra. Listen to the words inside the Gra. Amazing Gra. Made a very big impression upon me, this Gra. How we learned from the Pasuk Vav. Go back to page 56. Nidmu amim mibli adoasu kmo shnema kisiv seichayin yesh mudas haynu lil moit. Okay, this means to learn. To learn, dine korbanos v'toriv akshem yipihu Hainu lilamech. He's going back on the pasuk in general. That's the pasuk in general in Malachi. That's a famous pasuk. Sif seichach koyin yishmudas. A koyin is supposed to have self-study to learn. The Torah yivakshu mipiu means he's supposed to teach. Now he's going to lilamech. Now he takes that pasuk in Malachi and he applies it here to what it says in Hosea. V'zeh she'amar kan ki ato hadas ma'asta. Hainu nami lilmoit. You have rejected knowledge. This means to learn. Okay, you do not want learning. You Klal Yisrael, you have rejected, or here we discuss in the Kohanim, you have rejected knowledge, lilmoit. Therefore, v'tishkach Torah Elokecha. I'm sorry, the second part of the pasuk where it says, skipping words now, v'tishkach Torah Elokecha, you have caused it to be forgotten. How does one cause it to be forgotten? By not teaching. V'tishkach hainu lilamei, to teach. Now the Omar, now we understand the repetition of the pasuk. The punishment is midah kineged midah. Neged hadas ma'asta Omar ve'em oscha mikahein li. I will reject you. You will no longer be a kohen to me. Hainu ki tziv sechon yishmudas. V'negad, failing to teach, when you have an opportunity to teach, v'neged tishkach taras elokecha Omar eshkach bonecha hainu lilamed. Then your children will be forgotten. Ki bonim hainu talmidim. The children are the talmidim. There will be no one to teach your children Torah. Very powerful. So a person has an obligation. Moshe says a person, just like when it comes to money, you have an obligation to give 10% of your profits to tzedakah after taxes. You have to pay 10% of what you put in the bank, must go meiser at tzedakah. Likewise, in your free time, 10% of your time must be devoted to teaching other people. To teaching other people Torah. That's what you have. There's meiser in mamon, and there is meiser in zman. Okay, let's go now to... Now there's another. Okay, well, before we go, the Radak and the Malam, we're going to skip. In this part, there's one very amazing Chemas Anoch, which caught my attention on page 59. Very interesting. Who wrote the Chemas Anoch? Let's see the front page here. On the front page, it says the Chemas Anoch l'Hachidah. Okay, that's simple as that. The Chidah. When did the Chidah live?
Right before the Gaon. That time.
So what was that? 1700s. Okay, Chidah was typically Mekubal. Okay, was Kabbalah, Yoni Kabbalah.
They were also family with the Gra.
Also, they married. Okay, all the great ones.
Yeah, he was Machtonim with the Chayodim, with the generation of Har.
He did good. So let's see, Pasuk Vav. Let's read through this very quickly. I like what he writes over here. Efshar, Nidmu Ami, maybe page 59. Idmu Ami, maybe Adas, Eshach Bonecha, Efshar, Bemesha, Amu, Bavakama, and Avtsadi base. The Ben Noyach Nerag, Shahayloi Lulmon Vloy Lomat. A Ben Noyach is going to get killed because he should have learned and did not learn. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean over there? Vyashkan Shama Shmuel Hanovi, Olav Hasholem, Lashol Hamelech, Olav Hasholem. Yan Ma'as Tas Dvar Hashem Vayim Oscha Mimelech. First thing is an amazing cross reference. He's saying this pasuk applies to none other than Shol. Okay, how could you say that about Shol Hamelech Tzadik? Shol Hamelech. He's saying that's exactly what Shmuel said to Shol. The reason why you have been rejected, you were selected to be the first king. And who knows what would have been, even though we have a positive Lo Yosef Shev Mehuda Mechayim Ben Ragim, there's a lot of Torah on this. It was really meant to be two lines of Malchus. A Malchus from Binyamin, and a Malchus from David, Mashiach Ben Yosef, Mashiach Ben Yosef, two different lines of Malchus. So you were really meant to be a Melech, and what happened? Because you have rejected Hashem, Yan Mo'asto Es Dvar Hashem, Vayim Oscha Mimelech, you are going to lose your Malchus. He made two big mistakes, Shol. He did not wait for Shmuel. When he was anointed king, he was told, you shall not offer the korban until I arrive on the scene. And Shmuel was late. He probably was deliberately late to test Shaul. And the people were putting on Shaul enormous pressure. Let's get the show on the road. We have things to do. Offer the korban so we can get back to our work. And Shaul, unfortunately, he succumbed to the pressure. That was really the true test of leadership. That's really the essence of Malchus. Do you succumb to the pressure? And that was the litmus test of if you got the stuff it takes, and he did not. And that would have been okay, but the problem was if he would have confessed, he would have been okay. He did not say chotasi. He went and he, I'm right. I did the right thing. And the second mistake was he did not kill Agag. Second chance he had was not to kill, to wipe out Amalek, to thoroughly wipe out Amalek. And he had rachmanis on the Noshim and on the animals and on Agag. He did not kill Agag right away. And when Shaul came, why did you leave him alive? Why did you leave the animals alive? I told you what to do. And he also had a chance to Hashem gives many, many chances. He could have just said, you're right, I made a mistake, chotasi. He did not say chotasi. And that was it. Those two together, really, Chazal and those two mistakes, he says, no, I did the right thing. There's no, Hashem only wanted me to kill the males. There's no need for me to kill the animals and the children and Agag. And he says, where did you get that from? You know what Hashem told you to do. You know what I told you to do. You're making things up. And he did not say, he argued the point, and that was his second fatal mistake. And for that, Shmuel said to him, Yan mo'asta estivar Hashem, vayim oscho minelech. That's exactly what it says over here in this pasuk. Now, what?
Literally a fatal mistake. You made a mistake. That's why the famous Quran on Parshas Bishalach at the end, so zosi karom b'sefer,
yeah,
simbos ne'yoshua. You write it down in Sefer Torah as Zecher Amalek, but make sure the symbols in the Yeshua, tell him what it is.
How to pronounce it. Don't say.
Don't just leave it to him because Torah is written without vowels. So make sure that he.
Zohar. It's not Zohar Amalek.
Zohar,
not the males. Not the males Amalek.
Make sure the person understands what you wrote.
That's maybe one of the reasons why we're so makbet, that we say it twice. Zecher and Zecher. There are many words in the Torah. Sorry to tell you, they're not many, but there are quite a collection of words in the Torah where we don't really know. Yoshveh, Yoshveh. There are a whole scattered bunch of words where...
Yeah. A's and A's are a lot.
We're not so sure on some of them?
There are certain words. That say one way.
Right. There are, the Mincha Shai, there are words in the Torah where there's a doubt how to pronounce them. So why all of a sudden when it comes to Zecher, either way it's good. Yoyitze, either way. So why all of a sudden with the Meshagas we have to say the pasuk twice, say the word twice? It's because this is where Shaul went wrong. This is where he lost it. Now, even though the mistake was not Zecher and Zecher, the mistake was Zohar, was as the males, Zohar, two komatzes, which, if you say that for sure, that's not the word. But since this is where he went wrong, so therefore we want to make sure we say it right. Once we want to make sure we say it right, we're going to make sure we say it right according to all opinions. Whether it's going to be Zecher or it's going to be Zecher, which means remembrance. It's not Zohar, it's not the males. It's the remembrance. But because we're coming to correct a mistake, that's why here we go to town and repeat the pasuk. Because again, you can go like this forever and ever. There are all many pasukim, even the Megillah for sure. In the Megillah, there are a lot of words there that we're not exactly sure about. Well, that's the Havara. That's their Havara. That's their Havara. That's a different reason because they have a different.
Isn't there a Gemara that talks about Yoyev had learned that?
Yoyev also made that mistake. Correct.
Right.
Yoyev also. Yoyev also. He had to kill his Rebbe. He killed his Rebbe. Oh. You taught me wrong, and because I did wrong, that's why this whole thing happened to me. Therefore, he killed him. Right in Chanami. That's another very, very bizarre story. It's a very violent thing to learn. Ach. You learn Shmuel and Lachem. My mother used to say, you can't teach this to children. It's murder and violent. Avodah Zarah. That's what they claim. That's one of the reasons why Hasidim more than Ashkenazim. They're not so eager to teach Nach, at least Nevi'im Rishonim to children. It's all about Avodah Zarah. It's all about murder, revenge. It's not something you want to wait until you get a little bit more mature. By the time they get a little bit more mature, they're already working. They're already out the door. And then they never learn it. So it's a very dangerous balance to get something in before it's too late. Next, Vishal Shaygig Haya. Shal was a Shaygig. V'loy Shem Moas Tevar Hashem. How could Shmuel say such harsh words? You Moasta, you detested. You can say that about the Melech Yisrael, the Mashiach Hashem. Moasta, it means he made a mistake. It was an accident. V'loy Shem Moas Tevar Hashem. Ach! So here's his explanation. Now he's applying to this pasuk. Me'acha shahoylo lehisbainin uliyashiv daitai. What we are taking account for is he should have thought about it more. He should have been more careful. Shaul should have been more careful and thought about what the command was, and not made the mistakes. Kuri beki moas devar Hashem v'haynu hami'isa. That's mi'isa. We're super magnifying a very, very minor imperfection in the mindset of Shaul. Umavor b'choysha mishpat simen kuf ayin vav. He really likes to quote chapter and verse, the chema sanach d'chida. Now here's a very beautiful idea. Tim echad me hashutofim bitel t'nai hashutofus t'hashutofus batel l'das ha-Mordechai. Mordechai holds, you have two partners. And one partner, there's an agreement in the partnership, and one of the partners, he is unfaithful, he does not fulfill the condition, automatically the partnership dissolves. It's not the pshat that the partnership is still in existence and just that the one who is in violation has to compensate his partner. That's what you would think. We have partners, and one partner does something illegal, so he has to compensate the other partner, but the partnership does not dissolve. No. The partnership automatically is botel umevotel. And that has consequences legally. I don't know what they are, but they are a major consequence when we say that the partnership has been dissolved. So now, the Armuzal, so look what he says, he's something amazing, that a man has three partners. Who creates a human being? The mother, the father, and Hashem. The Armuzal, Perik Shlishi, Dinida, Shloisha, Shutafim, Ba'adam. Ave, V'imai, V'akadosh, Baruch Hu. Father gives the red, the mother gives the white, and Hashem gives the neshama. The Hacha Kadosh Baruch Hu Hisna Hashem et Tanai. What's the Tanai? Vishinantam Livonecha. The Gam. So therefore, if we do not keep the condition, what is the condition in the partnership? Father, mother, and Hashem, they're three partners, that we have to be loyal to Hashem. We have to teach our Vishinantam Livonecha. You have to teach your children Torah. So if we do not keep the partnership, our deal, the partnership is bottled. What happens when the partnership is bottled? Man dies. Man can only exist when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is part of the deal. Father, mother, and Hashem. If Hashem leaves, man dies instantly. If you don't paskin like the Mordechai. If you paskin that there's a partnership, and one partner is in violation, the partnership is maintained. It's just that there has to be some type of accounting made, so we're in violation, but we still get to live. Because Hashem is still a partner, and we need Hashem in order for us to survive. But if you learn the partnership is bottled, then we're in trouble. The gam ledas man de savar de enay bottle hashutoflus who das harambam zal. That's the Rambam. Benido in ze. Even in this case, the Rambam admits moide the bottle hashutfus. Why should this be different? Why the hach amrechmana befeirush im atam eshama b'tohara muta avim lav who noilam emenu. This fits on the nusach of elokai neshama. Elokai nishmosh nasat bi torato v'rasato yitzarto to nefachti v'atam esham v'kim kol zman shan esham v'kirbi. He's quoting from the nusach of the bracha. If we are mevatel, then in this case, this an explicit condition when it comes to this partnership. V'im lafu noilam mimcha k'mo esham v'psham perik shlish d'nida. Even the Rambam admits that if you explicitly state in the contract that if you negate my Tanai, then the partnership is bottle. Even the Rambam admits that the partnership is bottle. So Hashem made a condition in Vishinantam Levanecha. He also expressed himself by saying that if you do not do Vishinantam Levanecha, then it's over. V'zeu sh'omar. Now we understand pshan the pasuk. Okay, now we have a much greater appreciation of the pasuk. Sh'omar ki nidmu ami miblidas. The Yonis Santir game. Okay, so nidmu means we become cut off. We become still. Nidmu, we become silent, which means we've died because of das. Because we have not kept the condition of observing the Torah mitzvah. So therefore, nidmu, we have been. It's over. We have become. The whole partnership has dissolved. Okay, so that concludes. That's his interpretation. We'll leave with that. And tomorrow, in Yirtz Hashem, we'll go on to Pasuk, the next Pasuk Zayin.